is no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast
on the left.
Side stories.
Love your glaze.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes.
One of my least favorite of all the fruits is a fucking grape, man.
Oh, great. So we're going to start with
hot
takes.
I'm here. I'm in it. And
it's
by the way,
it's about
so
grapes.
Much worse. Well, melons are so much worse than grapes. Melons taste like nothing but bad.
People don't like melons, but when it comes down to it,
people
truly,
don't like grapes.
You know what, Marcus? You've never really had a good, I mean this, and now this is fascinating. Ugh. SoCal honeydew melon is actually very good. It can have its own flavor profile.
Honeydew.
It's just, yes, a lot of times, normally, is it filler in a fruit salad? Absolutely. Yeah. We know this. All right.
What does Henry's wife tell him? Honey, don't.
I don't do anything against my wife's will.
Honey, don't not do the dishes again.
I do the dishes. That is what I do. I make the love, I put out the recycling, and I do the dishes.
That actually makes you one of the better husbands in the world.
I'm crushing it. But grapes are big in the news this week. A lot of controversy, people shutting down grapes. But when it comes down to it, just remember grapes are really important. I guess if you eat a bowl of grapes, your fucking day, your fucking life, you get 5 years extra to your
life.
But you got to force yourself through an entire bowl of grapes.
Absolutely.
I like grapes.
Are we recording? Are we recording?
Yeah, this is the show.
Oh, this is the show.
this is that special side stories edition featuring me, and we're talking about fucking eating a bowl of grapes and how much melon sucks.
Welcome to side stories.
Wow, welcome to side stories, everyone. Forget the grapes. Eat the prunes. Also, just search Prune Brothers and see what comes up.
Please.
Have fun with that.
Classic.
This is Side Stories.
I got a shit.
All right, today's special episode, we are joined by Marcus Parks. Henry and I, we have our friend back.
Yeah, we do. Wow.
Isn't that exciting?
And Marcus is him. This is him. Well, welcome to our, like, so this is the fun little sandbox.
Okay.
Where we get to just play with ideas. Mm-hmm. And we don't have to be right all the time. Which seems to it gets us a lot of corrections.
Yeah, well, it angers people, it seems like, when you don't say things correctly.
Well, so now, keeps them young.
I'm glad that it's your chance to be completely unprepared to speak.
I'm loving it, man, because I haven't done any work besides looking up just one news story. I'm off the cuff, and
guess what,
ladies and gentlemen? When I'm off the cuff, I am often wrong.
Yes!
There it is. Well, what's not wrong, as we talked about, is eating a bowl of grapes, because evidently there's a chemical in it, and it boosts good gut bacteria. So then maybe you don't have to get yourself a fecal transplant. Although, let's be honest, I want one.
I guess so. Honestly,
what celebrity would you get a fecal transplant from first?
Scarlett Johansson.
Lance Hendrickson.
Ooh! Hey, wait a second. Do you not think that the gray /beige like material flowing through the intestines of Lance Hendrickson is going to help your life? Because I love him as an actor.
All right. Peter Weller.
Peter Weller it is. He's also from Stevens Point, Wisconsin. You're sniffing a little close to my hole, aren't you? I would go with Hugh Jackman.
Yeah, sure.
Because I think he's hyper clean, very in shape, always buff. But then also, I think he has reasons to clean his hole.
You see, I'd want it to be somebody like Bella Hadid, but I should also be allowed to get it. You know what I mean? I should be allowed to collect it.
Okay. Absolutely. Well, welcome to the episode once again. What a fantastic way to begin. Yep. In no way are people disappointed. In no way are they like, why are we listening to this? I'm actively getting dumber. However, technically, we did give you a tidbit of information to save your life and potentially add 5 years to this wonderful existence. Because when I hear about something that could prolong my life, don't you just immediately think, better get on that fast?
Yeah.
Because everything is so fun and wonderful. Well, and it's just, maybe I want to do something that'll take 10 years off.
It's just, the fact is, the years that they add are always at the back end.
They're never 18 to 25. It's never like you get to be 18 to 23 years old again. It's always like you get to be 92 to 97.
Yeah, it's just 5 more years of staring and pain.
Doing that thing where your mouth's open all the time. I don't want to get that. I might even have my face like fucking like
glued shut.
Something. Just like,
I'm gonna get lip fillers, because for some reason, especially with people of our complexion, the lips just slowly fade away and become teeth.
Yeah. You need to use chapstick and moisturizer.
I heard that's actually very dangerous, because then it makes your body reliant on chapstick, and then it makes your lips not be able to self-wet.
Do you believe any of this?
That is true.
Fernando's nodding. Do you know?
Fernando's a scientist. He knows.
So oh, is that a generally accepted fact that Fernando's a scientist on Side Stories?
No, he's an engineer.
He's an engineer. What's the difference?
He just mostly either stands and he nods and shakes his head, depending on what level of flagrantly wrong that we are at.
Absolutely.
I'm just trying to learn the rules. That's all I'm doing here.
That's right. Skip the grapes. Die young. Otherwise, you're going to end up like a raisin.
This first story, I just wanted to read a story to Mark and see what he thinks. Again, we respond live here. And sometimes, Marcus, would you call yourself a beach person?
No, absolutely not. I despise the beach. I am a forest person. I'm a mountains person. Give me trees. Give me shade.
You despise the beach. Isn't that a little harsh, though?
I'm feeling like I'm going to need to get ready for it, but I'm thinking right now, as far as the first 40 years of my life go, I've never once had a good time at the beach unless an amusement park was attached to it, and that would be Coney Island.
What about Puerto Rico?
It's pretty good. There's a lot of dogs out there.
Okay.
But that's what I like. I like the beach when you just sit there, right? I like sitting in a chair because otherwise I get covered in sand. It gets in every part of my fucking body hair. I'm absolutely riddled with it. And then I have to shake myself off like a dog leaving a lake.
That is true.
Every single time I go into my car and it's just my whole car becomes a sand trap.
Isn't that kind of fun, though? That's why you should drive one of those little turtles. Like a little red turtle sandbox. Remember those growing up, folks?
No, those were really fun.
Those were fun.
What you're talking about. No clue.
But also, as you do get older, you do naturally, instinctively go towards the water. This is very true.
Fernando's permanent shrug.
I'd like to know where Ben's logic for this comes from. So Ben,
I'm curious.
I'm curious.
It's no different.
It is a scientific study.
His logic on this podcast.
It's similar. It's different. Okay, it's fine. Pretty big deal. Going towards water, why?
All right, let me start with this
story.
Start
with your story.
And then you get through the end of it. Detach, come back.
Okay.
So, beachgoer, 63, sad, dies after being impaled by a beach umbrella when strong winds lifted the pole out of the sand, drove it into her chest as a bunch of her four horrified friends, they all screamed at her to duck. Now, her
goodness, it was better than for her to die.
Yeah, or like jump. Honestly, the key is to jump so it hits you lower in the body, but we'll get into that.
I don't know.
Because that's how I avoided getting hit by a car. A car coasted through a stoplight, so what I did, which I think I understand, Ed, Fernando, you're an engineer, you might actually help with this, I did jump so that it hit me lower, and then I rolled on top of the hood, right? And then rolled off of it, right? And I
Barbara,
fucked up the whole hood.
Barbara, yes, did we just hit a stack of potatoes? What the heck was that?
I think it was wearing a dashiki.
Oh, my goodness.
It was some sort of very, very beige African.
How much did you mess up the car?
I fucked up the whole hood.
Good for you.
Yep.
So where was this in, like, heaviness scale? Like, Henry heaviness scale. Where was this?
This woman?
No, you. When you got hit by
the
car.
Not the victim of the beach umbrella.
No. Why? I would never ask why. That's not relevant in any way whatsoever.
How much did the victim weigh? Oh, you're a very strange judge.
Let me get the scale.
No,
I was about 300 pounds. I was a big boy.
Okay, yeah. So you're going to really fuck up that car.
Oh, yeah, dude.
It's going to make you feel kind of good, though, because what kind of revenge can they have upon you? They hit you.
No, it was awesome. Yeah. It was the best. It was great. I was all bruised up on my side. When the guy came, I was like, oh, what'd you do to my car?
You're
trying to fucking kill me, bro. it was very manly.
I love Florida. Now, all right. Well, let's go back to Garden City.
Now, this woman, this is South Carolina. All right, now they're calling it a freak accident.
It is.
Let's see. Maybe it could be homicide.
You think the penguin's involved?
I don't know. So Tammy Perrault, lovely lady. To be honest, we do look very similar in size and shape.
She's 63 years old.
She was very sweet. A gust of wind. And this is just wild, right? And they said, duck. They said, apparently the wind ripped through something like 60 miles per hour. I don't know how else was standing. I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of things at play here. There's a lot of elements.
I don't know. The story that I'm looking at said that it was just a regular breezy day. Nothing truly out of the ordinary. No other umbrellas or beach blankets or anything got foiled. Just this one umbrella, they say. That's what her husband said. Just this one umbrella. Her husband spoke with the news. That's interesting.
Well, think about this. You're walking. This is really strange.
He got one.
But how does the fucking
he got to get a dead wife under his belt without being charged.
Yeah, absolutely. What that does
which is bad.
That's fucking, you get all of the sympathy, Bush.
Yep.
And just and the quiet. But no, I love my wife. I love this woman. Absolutely. She looks lovely. But it is really fun. How is this not Sharknado? How is this not some big news? Because she's walking along. Somehow, how does it go fast enough to jump out of its holder and go long enough that people go, duck, duck, like it's an action movie, like
was
it's the Twister.
Was it the top or the bottom of the umbrella? Because if it's the bottom, you got to have kind of
it's
a spike.
The top.
You got to be able to jam it into the ground. But if it's the top, does it need to be that hard?
If I may put forth a hypothesis here as to how this happened. So the umbrella came down from the beach about 40 feet away. According to the story that I'm reading, comes from 40 feet away, but I'm not thinking that this is some sort of missile situation. I'm thinking that this thing flew up into the air, and then as it came up into the air, flip down, like, because once it comes down, I don't think it came straight away. I think it came down from the sky. It rained down upon from on heaven.
Oh, this my is God, why, it's raining umbrellas. What an ironic twist.
Truly so good to have Marcus here.
Yeah.
Because actually, that's a very good breakdown because in my mind, because what I'm imagining, for some reason, I imagine the wind came up, shot it up.
But I thought,
in my head, I'm thinking Call of Duty. I'm thinking Halo. It's going in one straight line and impales a woman through the chest like it's a film.
Yeah, like somebody's got like a spear gun, and it's no. It's got to go up into the air and then come back down again.
Yes, you have more of a harpoon, alligator, crocodile hunter type death going. What happened with the stingray and Mr. Irwin? Marcus is coming in with a little bit more of a lawn dart approach, where you have a good arc and then it comes down. This is also why you should not celebrate by shooting random guns into the air, because the bullet,
they come down
when it comes down. I do want to point out one thing about this lovely woman, and I love her, and she's a victim. She has a t-shirt on that I love, and I would marry her, and this she could have been my wife. And the t-shirt just says, "This girl needs a bear."
No, it's wonderful.
And then it's got a little beer on it, because you know what? This girl needs a beer.
Absolutely.
And she deserved a beer, and she looked like she was nothing but good times and good soul and good heart.
All of these pictures are lovely. Her and her husband suntan, enjoying the politics of South Carolina. They're out there. They're enjoying it. And then, but the thing was, is that I'm getting the information here. She was impaled with the bottom end.
So this is what I'm saying.
So it went up and up and up.
Well,
and up
Henry
and it came
thought
back down.
Again, it was more of a penguin style jousting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but it because that they're just little plastic nubs on the top. That was what I was thinking. I was like, why the hell would the top of an umbrella, unless they're trying to get birds not to sit on it, like it's some kind of bizarre new homeless bench that they make where they put nothing but barbed wire on top because God forbid people take a nap. It makes sense that it was the thing that plunged into the sand.
Yeah, but she's dead. Yeah,
and it plunged right into her heart.
Yeah, this is a beach umbrella. This is not an umbrella that needs to stand.
Oh my goodness. She was lying down then.
No, she wasn't. She was walking.
She was standing?
Well, this is also an important thing. We talk about this. Recently, someone got hospitalized at a baseball game because the ball came through. Mm-hmm. It was a foul ball, and they weren't paying attention because they were gabbing. They were not watching the game. They were just enjoying themselves.
Well, you're victim-blaming a little bit. Sure. It's baseball. You're supposed to talk with your friends.
But also, you're supposed to keep your eye on the ball. Right? It's kind of important.
I mean, you're not getting paid to do it. You paid to be there. This is my one thing about baseball.
But listen, it's not a game. It's not on your TV when you're there watching it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's men with their balls.
If you're in the foul zone to the sides, then you got to watch out. You definitely got to watch out.
You got to
pay
attention.
No one's
going
to be watching out for you. If it's a fly ball, everyone around you is going to signal. There's a ball coming. You can look up. But if you're on those sides and that foul ball, that bunt hit, not bunt, but you know, that sideways hit, once that hits you, man, that's going to be the most dangerous one. That's going to be like being hit by a pitch.
And you have to pay attention.
You have to pay attention to these things.
But so maybe we need to start messaging. We got to start paying attention to the beach.
Well, I agree. You always have to pay attention.
Because I personally have such bad anxiety that I see people at the park where they like lay down and they look up at the sky and they enjoy themselves. And like I can't, because I always kind of have this like really intense, constant fear that something from the sky will fall and kill me.
Sure.
Right? So I can't. I don't like looking up.
The Donnie Darko effect.
Yes. So maybe the whole country should have this.
Well, I agree. You have to be aware. You never want to die like a martini olive. You don't want something to spike through your heart and then you drowned and theoretically leak a whole series of different kind of vodka juices. But interestingly enough, this woman is not alone. According to federal agencies, now you can always trust them because they're federal.
And they're all federal.
They say that 3,000 people a year are injured by beach umbrellas. So maybe we need to just go with the beach umbrella hat. 3,000 a year, which
is a stationary object,
makes it almost a pandemic.
I'm not surprised at all, because I have an umbrella on my deck, and that fucker, if you leave it open, it will cause a lot of damage.
Yeah, a lot of havoc.
Interestingly enough, according to the Journal of Safety Research, ooh, that would be a fun place to work, wouldn't it?
I think it's filled with a lot of people that are bummers.
Yeah, I think so too. The majority of people that are injured by beach umbrellas are women over 40. I have no idea how this is happening,
I can see where
chicks over 40.
I could see it's all in the quiet beaches. It's like where my mom used to go. My mom used to go to this one beach, right? Where she was just like, what I loved is that I could go and I could put my toes in the water. And I didn't have to worry about anybody playing their loud music. And I didn't have to worry about people playing with the ball and enjoying themselves. They just sit quiet. But then everybody realized, hey, this is this great beach. And then people started having fun there.
Well,
so my mom stopped going.
But right. I would also say
if they're going to this beach, you know, if you're talking about people over 40, not just women, as you get older in age, your strength goes down. So I'm thinking that it's people out there on the beach. They're putting it up. They're putting it in. But they're not putting it in very deep because they don't have like the strength of a young person.
Right.
They're not putting it in very deep. A big gust comes and that thing thwacks them in the head as it's on its way out of the ground. And they're, of course, they're on the beach with many other people that are of age, of a certain age. And it just takes all of them out like a bunch of bowling pins.
So.
Just bam.
And you figure that that nightmarish day in Normandy in December of 1943. You think that those guys would know a thing or two about how dangerous the beach could be.
Absolutely. And maybe some umbrellas would have helped them out a little bit.
Maybe it would have. And I think that, again, when it comes down to if you are defeated by a beach umbrella, you really need to think about doing some upper body strength training.
Well, she's not thinking about much now because she is a victim. And the saddest thing is she was at Scotty's Beach Bar and she was a local. She was just trying to live a wonderful Garden City beach lifestyle. And unfortunately, many people did say on social media, final destination. Perhaps she was almost hit by a car like you were a day previous. And she survived, but she wasn't supposed to survive for whatever reason. The car swerved when it should have swooped and saved her life. But then the beach umbrella had its revenge.
I think D-Day was in June.
I don't fucking know.
We don't know.
Pearl Harbor, that was December 6th.
They're all the same, dude.
I don't know what time every false flag took place.
Yeah, I don't
okay,
know.
I don't know.
Yeah, when did FDR give us over to the traitors?
Absolutely.
Yeah, D-Day was June 6th, 1944.
Pearl Harbor you Googled it, so it technically doesn't amount. But you're not smarter than us because you Googled it.
I knew it was in June, though.
You knew that we were wrong.
I was making a bit about beach umbrellas.
And this is what somebody wrote on Facebook. They say some things we will never begin to understand, but what we do know is no one has a bad thing to say about this woman.
No, but
so
be careful
out there. I just did not realize 3,000 people a year, especially if you're a gal over 40. Apparently, these umbrellas have mommy issues, and they want you dead. It's so weird to me. What a strange stat.
I don't know. I feel that.
Also, this is like one of the rare times where women, as they age, they're getting it worse because mostly it's like men, your feet start to fall off.
Yeah.
And then you just automatically get some kind of cancer and tumor and a weird voice.
All I know is the osteoporosis.
Yeah. Oh.
All I know is that South Carolina bar is going to have that story for forever.
Yeah. But I don't think they want that one.
Of course they do. They so excited. Those bartenders, I love them. You know, I mean, we all need material. I'm desperate for material. And the fact that you could just sit there.
That's not material, Henry.
It absolutely is. It is right now.
You know what they're going to do? They're going to
literally just did material on this.
No, that was not material.
Minutes.
That was us mourning the loss of a wonderful, beautiful woman that needs a beer. Now more so than ever. And you know for a fact they had, because anytime a bar regular dies, for at least that weekend, They have their favorite drinks and they put them in their bars. And you say, don't sit on that bar. That's John's bar seat for another 48 hours. And then he liked the little shots and he has this little beer. Anyway.
Live from your grave.
A roast as dark as the night. Perfect for fueling the cryptid research and mad ravings required for your podcasting. Don't mind the red eyes. He's just trying to warn you of the bridge.
The bridge.
Finally, from the caffeine-addled brains of Springheel Jack Coffee and Last Podcast on the Left, we bring you Mothman's Red Eye Blend. Yes, delicious Panama beans. Go to lastpodcastmerch.com to order yours today.
Well, also speaking of water and beaches, did you see this story that happened in New York City or the New York area? A dude actually fought a shark.
Is this
real?
Wait a second. Is this just fucking viral marketing content for that Beast movie?
Dude, looks kind of cool.
I'm rooting for the lion.
Isn't that weird?
When it comes down to it, I fully believe, Nat and I get into this all the time about, we watch nature shows, and she's always like, the poor antelope, the cheetah's eating the antelope. And I was like, that cheetah's got to eat. Right? You come down to it.
Yeah, but then the next scene is the antelope destroying some muskrat. Wait, I mean, everything's eating everything.
Idris Elba. If he wants to, it comes down to, that should be a fair fight. It's not the lion's the villain. It should be Idris Elba versus the lion. We should see the lion story. Henry, it should be like Lion's King. No, I think it should be like Lion's King.
It's not,
and then
just
Idris Elba and him should put in a sort of boxing match, and they both should be given the same exact skill set.
Navy movie where that dude had to box a donkey.
I think that that's how it should be treated fairly, and the lion should get its fair shot to kill Idris Elba as well. Idris Elba's a gun.
I think it's a special kind of beast. I think it's like bigger than just a lion.
It's just a fat lion.
No, I saw the image. I think it's a big... I bet you there's some we genetically modified the world's biggest lion. Let's see what happens when this family comes to visit nearby. I don't think it's just going to be a random lion. Because let's be honest.
Yeah, I don't
know.
You
can never trust him.
And Ben, let me ask you about this story here about the man fighting the shark. Are you talking about the one that happened 2 years ago in Sydney that just happened to be published by the New York Post?
Well, this was in August 15th, 2022, which is this year.
Oh, wow.
Yes, indeed.
A recently widowed husband returns to South Africa, where he first met his wife, on a long-planned trip with his two young daughters to a game reserve managed by an old family friend and a fellow wildlife
biologist.
That's
the description of the beast?
Soon, a ferocious, quote-unquote, man-hunting lion begins attacking them and killing everyone in its path.
It's a man-hunting lion. It's not just a lion.
They're going out to this place. Let me unpack this from the lion's perspective. Hey, you go to my sacred lion lands. You have put a little fun little park where you guys all did just show up. We are enslaved for you to come and look at us and take your fun little pictures from the side. And everyone's like, oh, look at the lion. Meanwhile, that used to be his home. Now it's somebody else's vacation spot. Of course that lion's going to be fucking mad. When it comes down to it, again, I'm not pro the lion, but I do think it's even. I think it should be neutral, and we should look at that lion's perspective when he's coming in there.
No,
and
I'm fine with looking at the lion. Perspective, but at some point it's going to cross the line.
But the two of them should then fight equally, and then it's whoever
you
wins.
You don't know what happens in the movie.
You know what Idris Elba is going to beat the lion.
We don't know, actually.
Yeah. He's going to beat the lion.
Yeah.
All right. Well, fantastic.
Yeah, Leonardo DiCaprio beat a bear.
He beat the bear.
Oh my God. That's just because the bear was like, tell me more about Titanic. And then when the bear was listening to his stories about Kate Winslet's bosom.
Yeah, he vaped in his face.
But anyway, so I'm actually looking at this image now of this guy so-called battling the shark. And I realize it's a baby shark, basically. And then he hooked it on accident. And then they were trying to unhook it. And the shark was like, what are you doing? It's a little tiger shark. They did unhook it. And then it was able to go back into the water. So the headline is a little bit of a lie.
Yeah.
Because they didn't bite the shark. It was 4 feet. I could.
Yeah.
You punch the shark.
And the tiger shark is a non-aggressive species of shark.
Yeah.
They still call it a predator, story. Though. And it's not even a gash in the man's
the New
life.
York Post.
He might as well have beat a little boy.
Yeah.
No, they're predators.
Honestly, he might as well have killed like a dog. Like just a normal little dog. Like, yeah, I know. I always find it bad in movies, the thing you do. Because, like, can you imagine that a big ravenous dog is like jumping on you and trying to get at you?
Yeah.
And you have to kill it.
Yeah.
Like, do you think I have dreams like that where I have like a snapping dog is coming at me? A lot of times it looks like Holden McNeely. And just imagining like having to put my arm around the dog's throat and having to choke it out, right? Like, sad for me.
Now that you mention it, I have killed a lot of dogs in my dreams, but like, really, like, I don't know. I think it's because I play a lot of video games and there's always mean dogs and video games, and I've killed a lot of those. Just seeping in.
I had to kill one in Red Dead Redemption. It was much like that No Country for Old Men when he's getting chased by the dog and the dog's about to eat him and you got to shoot him in the head sometimes real quick. I mean, you know, a dog is only as good as their owner.
I guess so. I think, now I'm just sad.
Don't shoot the dogs.
Oh, this whole thing has been
sad. Leave the dogs alone.
Beat a baby shark to death. There's a whole song about baby sharks people love, and then Lion is wrong. The Beast movie's wrong. It's all wrong.
I don't think Beast is wrong. I just feel like it's... You know, I would prefer, to be honest with you, I
the fact that Idris Elba, he's more of a lovable person.
So handsome.
I wish it was like a bunch of rich, dipshit,
yes.
Trumpian type kids
yes.
going over there to Big Game Hunt. And then you can just have the lions rip them apart for an hour and a half. And then like the coyote can say, thank you. And then a little squirrel can like be nibbling on their eyeballs. That's what I would like to see.
I also just rewatched Pacific Rim. And man, Idris Elba is so authoritative in that film.
Truly so. It's a great movie.
He's very serious.
Yes, but I would prefer, because I'm going to have empathy and sympathy for the family of this man, but I wish it was just douchebags going
but
on.
I have,
and maybe he plays a douchebag. I don't
have
know.
Sympathy for the kids, but I don't have sympathy for Idris Elba.
Well, he did do a horrible thing for his family to bring them into a jungle that is infested by human-eating lions. It's not exactly like, how do I make my family as safe as possible?
I don't know. Yeah, exactly. You brought them to the lion's house.
But anyway, be safe out there on the beach. That's what we're saying.
I mean, if we're talking about cats... I got a story about cats for
you.
Yeah,
please do.
Oh, interesting. We are kind of talking adjacent to cats, yeah.
Yeah. Well, this story is out of Genesee Township, Pennsylvania. Suspicious about frequent visits to her bedroom, a woman set up a secret camera and captured her father-in-law using her cat to masturbate.
Okay. Now, when you mean using it, like, when you say using it to masturbate, is it like, because now, again, it's I will say what's nice, I'm glad that you're here, because we've had a very pretty distinct break on bestiality stories and side stories. And
we don't make up the news.
No.
So people have been, you know what? Applaud yourself,
we all
world.
Managed mm-hmm. to just keep ourselves from fucking animals for the last several months, but it's nice to be back.
Yeah. Well, the alleged perpetrator is 66-year-old Harold Stanley Kinderdine. Kinderdine's wife.
This is going to ruin every single family event.
Wait, it's Harold Stanley.
Every holiday is done.
How do you spell the last name?
Kinderdine, K-E-N-D-E-R-D-I-N-E. Kinderdine's wife, Sonia, warned her son, Nathan, and daughter-in-law, Alexandra, this is a whole family affair, that her husband, Nathan's stepfather, had been seen going into their bedroom several times over the last month. Sonia suggested the couple, who lived with her and her husband, install a lock on their bedroom door. They did not install a lock, but they did install an indoor security camera. The next day, while she was out, she started getting notifications from the security system about activity in the bedroom. The camera captured Kinderdine walking into the bedroom around 11:15 a.m. This is 11:15 in the morning.
I don't know why that makes it even more bizarre. That means he woke up and one of the first thoughts he has was, I got to go jerk off with this cat.
Yep. He walked over to the bed where the couple's calico cat, Callie, was sleeping. Here's where it gets a little graphic. Kinderdine.
Just a second. Hold on one second. Slow it down just a little bit. If you're driving, you know, slow down because you might get into a car accident. This is the stepdad of this woman's husband.
Yes, stepdad
and
of the
husband. And why is he there?
He's living in the house. It seems, okay, Kinderdine's wife, Sonia, warned her son, Nathan, and daughter-in-law Alexandria, that her husband, Nathan... Okay, so this woman that her husband was going into his son and his daughter-in-law's bedroom.
But yes. Not her husband.
No.
Yes, it was her husband. Sonia.
Well, this woman, she called him in. But the thing is that Harold Stanley Kinderdine, he is going in and out of this house, and they were getting really annoyed with it, right? They were saying, hey, stop just entering into our home with no permission.
Here.
So what they did in order to stop this for some reason, it is really weird. They then put in a nanny cam
right.
to mm-hmm. see whether or not they get evidence that he was going in and out of there and try to catch him.
Yeah. And so at 11:15 a.m., Kinderdine entered the room, put his hand to his crotch, then picked the cat up. He grabbed the animal by its sides and thrusted himself against the cat repeatedly as he walked around the bed. The video shows Kinderdine's penis is out of the zipper fly of his pants. He continued to masturbate for a short time, then left the room.
This is one of the worst cat sitters.
Oh, horrible.
I've
absolutely.
Met.
It sounds like a deleted episode idea for King of Queens involving Jerry Stiller.
Yes.
Where he just has sex with the family's animals.
But according to him, now he has an explanation.
Oh, we're going to hear from him?
Yeah, he has an explanation.
Okay, hold on.
He made a statement.
Made a statement.
Yeah, he said that.
I don't want to hear from him. Is that
up,
okay?
No, he said that his main thing was that the cat hair felt good.
Yeah,
but he wanted to stipulate that he has never penetrated the cat.
Whenever you have to stipulate that, something horrible has happened.
Yes.
Yeah. And when he was asked further, why did you do it? Kinderdine said it was, quote, just a guy thing.
Just a
it's
guy thing.
It's not a guy thing. That's, don't bring us into this.
It's just a cool guy.
I am so fucking sick of all of this. Like, this is just what guys do. Guy thing. It's what you do. And you stand alone, my friend.
See, guys, let's just say, what do guys really like? Mm-hmm. Barbecue.
Yeah.
Sure.
I think guy, if I say just the guy thing, it would be real stank barbecue, right? Like gross sure. barbecue. I'd say
some
like
men don't like that.
Like a Lafrague, right? Like if you want to be stereotypical, like a
what's
super
a Lafrague?
A super, super smoky, like almost undrinkable scotch.
Uh-huh. Oh, right? Okay. I think, yeah, I love super smoky, like peaty.
Sure,
yeah, I love that.
I guess.
I'm just being like, that's my like in terms of like super stereotypical good guys like, right?
Yeah.
Sammy Hagar.
Yeah. Oh,
right?
Yeah. Like not driving 55. Yeah, guys love that shit.
I like, you know, I watch old car videos sometimes. Like, you know, I like watching, like,
that
how.
Is, what are you, Jay Leno? No, that's
saying,
not.
But just, like, I like
you
watching fucking.
It,
like,
to be honest.
I like watching frontier cooking.
Hmm. Yeah. Like bringing the cast iron skillet out to the campfire. Yeah.
I love
great.
I love like old time guy in like a revolutionary costume, like doing the old timey recipes. I think that's fun. Right.
Civil War reenactments.
I love that shit.
Yeah.
I don't want to be blue, but the answer is blowjobs.
I mean,
because
sure.
that is like it's
every
cliche.
Man
loves, but
every
that
man
is
loves a blowjob.
That is 98% universal.
But not every guy.
Yeah. Not every guy.
Must this, rub on a cat.
That's
in order
true.
To enjoy themselves, because to me, my main problem with it would be all like, it's a cat.
It's a cat. That's number
it's,
one.
It's
number
also
one is
not
that
his
cat.
Cat, which I don't even know if that, it doesn't change anything really, but it's also an invasion of privacy for them.
Well, he did add, after saying that it felt good and after saying that it was just a guy thing, he also told the state trooper who interviewed him that he did it to, quote, piss off his stepson and stepdaughter-in-law.
Yes.
He did what? It out of spite. And also not just that it felt good and it was a guy thing, but also out of spite.
Okay, it's not a guy thing and maybe it did feel good, but I have to ask what, oh my God, did he complete the task
had
on
to have,
said cat?
Yeah, because, yeah.
No, it sounds from what it sounds like, he just rubbed on the cat. He rubbed his penis on the cat for a little while. Because remember, he does maintain that he did not penetrate the cat.
Yep.
And then, actually, he didn't even finish. It says that he continued to masturbate for a short time, then left the room. I would say that the article from NorthCentralPA.com does not specify that the man ejaculated. It does
and
not
that
say
is,
that.
That's a fucking lack of reporting. That's a disease that is happening in this country.
Yeah, it is. But on the other hand, he might not bet the camera than any cam might not have been strong enough or sharp enough of a focus to capture the said ejaculate.
To be honest,
yeah,
I think
on the cat.
It's more that he is like he realized he was like, oh, I'm all fucking yeah, I'm gonna show them I'll jerk off with the cat. And then about halfway through, he's like, man, this is like not a real guy's thing. You know, like he said, he realized like this is not. I don't like it. I actually kind of now that I've approached all this and I had a big old plan on this, and it's like, well, you know, I'm just finished this at home.
Really does seem like he thought it was a guy thing though, because he did talk about it being a guy thing afterwards.
Yeah.
I guess he's just not invited around anymore.
Well,
and,
he has been charged, even though he maintains that he did not penetrate the cat, he has been charged with sexual intercourse with an animal.
I mean, it's definitely sexual outer course. He didn't let me to second base with the cat.
Judge, we're gonna do a close enough here on this one, Judge. It's close enough.
It's close enough.
Close
it's for
enough.
Sure. It's a horseshoe defense.
It's also just at some point it's a what crime? Like, don't the people get like he did something wrong for the family too, right? Because if you like hurt somebody else's animal, that's a, like animal abuse
and
the
cruelty
person
to animals was the secondary charge.
Okay.
Yeah,
yeah. He'll probably get 2 years, and then he gets to get that fun thing where you get to go to jail, and you get to everybody does the thing where they pull your card and they try to find out what it is that you're there for, and then when they find out that you're there for fucking cats, they make your life a living hell.
Oh, yeah. It's really not going to be good.
No, it's really
be the
not.
Rest of his life, he's always going to be the guy who fucked a cat. And Mr. Harry Kinderdean is
and his
always
whole life
Kinderdean.
His whole life is going to be, I never penetrated that cat.
Right. He's literally splitting hairs in more ways than one. Well, we'll see what he does here. He could be like this guy, Edward LeClaire, 57 years old. He's a total piece of shit. He was found guilty of 5 counts of sexual abuse. And well, being read that he is being found guilty, well, the jury is like, me guilty. He drank this fluid while sitting there and he died. He committed suicide right there.
How did he get that fluid into
apparently
the
just
court?
Looked like water. Yeah. So he just looked like water, and everyone's like, I guess he's got, well, you want to stay hydrated when you're being a, when you're becoming a convicted sexual predator.
I would definitely
the
feel...
most important thing is hydration.
Well, they said that it was a cloudy liquid. So this, they did say, but it's weird that he was able to bring in his own water, but I guess he was out on bail. But he was pretty sure, it seemed like, that he was going to be convicted. But the fact that he waited until the verdict was read before he chugged it makes me think that he thought that he still had a chance.
Still had a chance.
Maybe, just maybe. Ugh. That judge had a fucking dream and saved me. Like, maybe figured, he realized, like,
oh, I just found out my judge is Larry Nassar. I might get up.
But yeah, he drank all that. And I feel like there needs to be some kind of a little bit of a look-see about whether or not he, like, how the fuck do you get that type of liquid in? Even water. I'm actually really surprised you don't even have to have water from the other side.
I just don't think many people thought he was going to pull it off like he was some, you know, Russian dude who was, going to drink plutonium instead of go to the gulag. But it is unfortunate to the victims that he doesn't have to go spend the rest of his days in prison.
It is. It is very, very
all
sad.
Right.
Yeah,
well,
it's, I feel bad for the victims because he didn't get his punishment.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Live from your grave.
Hey, what's up, everyone? How you doing? Ben Kissel here with Henry Zebrowski.
Yeah, it's me, man.
Yeah, bro. Henry Zebrowski is smoking some of that sweet last podcast on the left, babe. So go out there and purchase yourself some. I hope you enjoy it. We have sativa, we have indica, and we have a hybrid. And I have to tell you, from my personal experience, they are wonderful.
Super tasty live resin. You really get the delicious, weedy taste, which is what I like. And
yes,
three different experiences. You go to your local vape store and get it.
Absolutely. Thank you all so much for supporting the show. We absolutely love you. Can't wait to see you on the road. And get that vape, put it in your brain, and have a good time.
And if you want us at your favorite weed store, give them a call and ask for them by name.
Absolutely.
Last podcast on the left, it's weed.
Hail yourselves, everyone.
Hail Satan.
Now, I want to talk a little bit of UFOs with Marcus.
Please.
Okay, I'll step out.
Yes. Get the fuck out of here.
Fantastic.
But no, I don't, like, it's the, oy, oy, oy. Now, what I love is that everybody talks about one of the biggest things in modern UFO discourse is, where's the pictures?
Of course.
Right.
Especially nowadays, now that everybody's got a camera.
Yeah, everyone thinks, like, we all have a high, powerful, the most powerful cameras on the market are in our pockets.
Right.
Why can't we catch them? Why are they always very blurry? And it actually, it speaks to a little bit of the mysterious origins of the phenomena.
Right. Sure,
maybe
sure.
More of the elemental sort of like chemistry / psychic nature of the phenomena. I don't know.
I think it also just goes to show you that no matter how advanced these iPhones get, our eyeballs are still better at telling the full picture. Because I stopped taking pictures outside of planes. Because, you see something outside of a plane, like lightning crash.
No, it always looks like garbage on the picture.
Look at it, you're like, what the fuck? No one's gonna see how cool this was.
It's like pictures of fireworks.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Literally.
No one cares.
No one cares. Everyone hates them.
It's
don't
weird.
Film them. No one cares. No, they want to see them live or not at all.
Isn't that bizarre?
Most people don't even like fireworks.
Well, I do.
But this story, what I do think is interesting, what I have found out in my research over the years, we talked to someone like recently who talks about how a lot of these UFO researchers, the reason why we don't see the good shit is because they hold it.
Yeah.
Is that they
keep it. For legal reasons oftentimes, right?
Sometimes it's for legal reasons, depending on whether or not they got it. Because a lot of times what they'll do is like some guy will show some ufologist that he's trying to impress because they're all hammered. They've had a bunch of whiskey late at night. And he's like, you want to see this fucking weird thing? You can't show it to anybody. And then you're allowed to take a little screenshot of it. But then you can only see it if you know that ufologist.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yes.
And then a lot of times they hold out because they know how... We know that the UFO scene is not exactly the most financially solvent.
No.
Although, let's be honest, it's getting much better than it used to be.
Sort of.
Because before it would ruin your life, and now you can have a career.
Still, you have to be Tom DeLonge.
Now you can set up a Patreon page.
Yeah.
Sure.
It's a little bit better than it used to be.
But not that much better, right?
I mean, yes.
They hold on to the material because they want to sell it, right? That's a big thing.
Or package it with a book.
Sure.
It's like frisbee golf. Yes, it is on ESPN every now and again, but no one thinks it's a sport.
No one actually thinks that, that thing you see people play at McCarran, that bouncy ball sport. Have
I
you seen
like
that where they
that
put
one.
Out the little trampoline, they
I
all smack a ball at
hate
each other?
That thing. I don't even know what it's called. It just, they can't go on. I did watch it again
on
ESPN.
But it's on ESPN like 4.
It is, and no matter what, it takes 4 seconds because,
yeah.
But anyway, that's a whole other thing.
What do you think, Ben? Cornhole, sport or not?
Sport. Anything that's sponsored by Johnsonville Brats, and it is, it actually does take a lot. It's like darts.
Yeah.
If
darts
really
is a sport, cornhole is a sport.
There's also a funny thing in cornhole where this one guy, he would always have a cup in his hand, and because he said, I've only played it when I'm drinking, but he wasn't drinking during the competition, but he just trained with a beer in his hand.
Yeah, he had
he holds one in his hand, and they're like, why do you do that? He's like, it's balance, I guess. Yeah. I don't know.
It's because I'm an alcoholic.
It's a good sport.
So this story is real, and it's very interesting. The quote-unquote best UFO picture ever, which is called the Calvina photo, was found after 30 years missing. Now, the thing that might have been released by some guy who had it, and finally they're like, ah, fuck it. But this thing has been rumored to be around for a long time. Now, August 4th, 1990, two hikers near Calvini in Scotland, right? So this is a Scottish photo, took a photograph of a mysterious diamond-shaped object. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this thing, it's been dubbed the Calvin photo. They talked about it in UFO circles for years. But then this dude, this British journalist, David Clark, finally dug it up. And so he was a curator for Britain's National Archives. And he found this former RAF press officer, Craig Lindsay, had held onto a copy of this photo, this print of it, for this long time. And it's really true because it was one in a series. Apparently there was about six photos taken by these hikers.
Okay.
And this was the one that you can see. Now, if you look at it, it's fucking awesome.
I mean, it's about as clear as it gets.
It is a diamond-shaped UFO in the sky. You see a little bit of barbed wire fence, which seems to be for scale and distance. And right next to it's a little fighter jet that looks like it possibly was scrambled to go look at it.
Also, we want to thank the person who spoke at our Q&A in Philadelphia. He was an airline pilot, and he had a great story about looking up, seeing a UFO, and then thank God he was with the buddies so they can confirm it. Otherwise, I think he would have gone crazy.
Maybe.
Now, this is an interesting story. Like, I'm reading a little bit about this. You know, what one of the people who talked to the two guys, because the two guys have never come forward.
No.
And in fact, their identity is sealed until 2072. Long after they're dead. Long after they're dead.
Even Nixon unsealed his stuff before that.
They're afraid. Mm-hmm. They're afraid of for their lives.
Yeah. That's crazy.
So these guys said that they saw the object first. Then they saw the jet. Then 2 minutes later, they saw the jet again circling the object, which is interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, it's clear. Again, one thing I will caveat here, which I think is important. We don't know if it's extraterrestrial or not, but it looks solid as hell. And when they did a lot of runs of the experiments to try to check out the validity of this photo, and according to this report that was made by a senior lecturer in photography, Hallam University's Andrew Robinson.
What a fun time.
You know, he loves it.
He says
it shows no sign of manipulation, right? It follows that this is either a genuine and identified flying object in the sky, or that any constructional manipulation used to create this effect obscure occurred in front of the camera, and not in the capturing of the scene of the film, nor in the subsequent processing and printing of the image. And so,
okay, so at very least, it's really, really well done. Puppetry.
Yeah, yeah.
Which someone good for you at the same time.
People just threw a disc up in the sky, but it's very weird looking.
Well, Clark, you know, the guy who held onto the photo for many years, he believes that it's not an actual, it's not an alien spacecraft. He thinks that it's a man-made object that's sitting in a secret hangar somewhere, that this is a government-built object.
I have a theory that there are a couple of these that used to be, was misidentified as UFOs, that what if There's a scenario here where they had objects sitting in a hangar. Like, they've had something that's like a UFO, some kind of craft in a hangar, very similar to Independence Day, which is why a lot of people are like, the government, they fucking gave them this story, and that's why it's all propaganda.
Today is our Independence Day.
But what if they could crawl into this thing, and they have just enough knowledge to turn it on? And it
Flight
can like
navigator.
It can like go up and down. Mm-hmm. They can like move it in a circle, and then that's it. You know what I mean? They have it. Like, and that's what they got.
It sounds like a really shitty battle bot.
It is. because we don't know how to do all the tricks with it. Or maybe there's like a psychic element that we don't have. That's what they say. Like the idea that like these little grays, they slide in there. And this is just one of the stripe of physical UFOs that could be real or not. You know, like who knows? Like who knows? It's like, or is it something that is completely man-made that we have like a couple of versions of it? Like we talked about how like there that is true, but like the Nazi the attempts to build some form of disc, like, and maybe we did get some of that shit back in the day and retrofitted some of it. It can go up and down and go back and forth on that.
Flying BattleBot Wars. Right now they're on the ground. We got to get these things up in the air. That would be really exciting.
Yeah, it'd be great.
Oh, it's going to happen.
Well, the psychic angle of it is interesting to me because for me, that kind of harkens back to the bear scenario. Do you remember the bear scenario?
Oh, I've seen that before. Absolutely. The bear scenario. That's where this guy, Tony, and this other guy, Robert, they get together. And oh, my God, I couldn't identify half of the things they were doing.
This is gay pornography.
Huh. Well, the bear scenario is a scenario that tries to compare humans and animals to aliens and humans, like in the fact that, say, like there's a bear that's sitting out in the woods. And then all of a sudden, a helicopter comes flying in, shoots it with a dart. They go down. The humans go down. They put a collar on the bear, like a tracking collar on the bear. Mm-hmm. And the bear wakes up and has a tracking collar on his around his neck, but the bear doesn't know what a helicopter is. The bear doesn't know what a dart is. The bear doesn't know what a tracking collar is. All the bear knows is that some weird shit happened.
Wasn't this a political ad by Ronald Reagan? There's a bear in the woods.
There's a bear in the woods.
Yeah, but it could be that sort of same sort of thing with the aircraft, because technically a bear could climb into a helicopter and press something make the helicopter move.
Like truly, absolutely. You can
But the bear wouldn't be in control of the helicopter, sure. Nor would it understand what the helicopter's for.
Well, either way, so that's exciting. So there was a flying saucer, huh?
It's just, I find it interesting.
How dare you minimize this?
It's his
as
whole life.
Always, you're just here just to minimize it.
No, literally, that is what happened.
Yes. But who knows? Because it was up in the air. Who fucking knows what it is? I do think it's interesting because it was obviously over some form of, like, they show the chain link fence. I don't really get the, when people have the defense of maybe it's some form of top secret material, or it's like, why would they fly them over where people would see?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, why would they
hiking.
Fly them in Scotland?
Well, because now we know it's kind of the what we found about the Rendlesham like stories is that the United States and the various places that you find out they have like super top secret shit in amongst the bogs of the UK because it's where people don't go.
Bog people. Also, if you are in the UK, check out the museum. They actually have bog people, they are fully preserved.
So cool.
And it's pretty
crazy. British Museum, the fucking Royal British Museum was fucking awesome.
All right, speaking of saucers, let's move on to sauce. Spaghetti sauce is under threat as the water crisis slams tomatoes. This is absolutely
fascinating.
Is
this what Side Stories is?
This is a flavor of it, but this is the deep. Bottom of the barrel story, someone would say.
1,200, we're in the worst drought in 1,200 years, right?
I don't know.
I'm telling you, because that's what Mike Montanano says.
I know they're worried about the tomatoes, they're worried about the avocados, they're worried about the almonds. They just need, I don't know.
Not almonds, outlaw almonds now. Outlaw almond milk.
Well, just the milk.
Go where there's water.
So according to Mike Montana, he's the head of the California Tomatoes Growing
Association. This is the problem, is that you really can't do this story because you do have a problem not saying tomatoes. And you've said it several times. And so it's actually very difficult to talk seriously about the drought problems. And again, totally outside of Marcus's and I purview both. We have no clue how to talk about water levels or like I could say like, I like tomatoes.
I mean, coming from a ranching family, I could vaguely talk about droughts, vaguely.
Well, Marcus? Mike says we desperately need rain. You know what that's like, Marcus.
Of course. Yeah, you need rain. Yeah. That's the whole thing about being a farmer. That's or a rancher, either one. That's why it's the worst job in America, because you are constantly at the mercy of the weather.
Gaia.
That's it.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And also it sounds like having a conversation with my 75-year-old parents, because all they ever do is like, is it raining there? I bet you need it. Oh, yeah. Well, it rained. Oh, yesterday. You wouldn't believe it rained from 7 to 9. And then it rained again from 3 to 7.
It is a little interesting, though, isn't it?
And it's just so nice because we needed it in the pool.
You know, that's the thing is that Ben actually mentioned earlier the thing about how you instinctively go to water as you grow older. That's not necessarily true. I did look that up and then we moved on before I could bring it up. But people do need more water as they grow older. So the elders' obsession with rain could be subconsciously linked to their increased need for water.
Or, you know, it's that. And then the water's leaving them. That's why we become all wrinkly, right? We still become human raisins because the water leaves our bodies. Maybe that's it too, and they're just long to soak it back up.
And of course, California Raisins, what song did they sing?
Heard it through the grapevine.
Take me to the river. Montana.
I don't think that's true. I don't think they sang that song.
Well,
that was a Talking Head song and an Otis Redding song.
No, but the Raisins got a lot of rights for those, a lot of music. So Montana says it's really tough to grow a tomato right now.
Do you think, you know what, people also instinctually go to the bathroom when they're having a heart attack?
Is that right?
Yep.
I don't know if that's true.
That's completely true. People instinctually, it's why people die in the bathroom more often than not, because when they're having a form of cardiac or stroke, it seems to, there is a natural impulse to walk to the bathroom.
Walk to the bathroom. Interesting.
Yeah, because that's where you go to have the bad things. I know that's where I plan to have my heart attack. I mean, that's where you go. That's where the Band-Aids are. That's where the Neosporin is. That's where the toilet paper is.
I wouldn't say that I've ever thought of the toilet as the place where I go, where the bad things are. I never thought of that.
When you are dying, do you naturally go to the bathroom, but not shit? Not shit. Do people defecate after death? Yes, blah, 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 blah.
Well, just briefly here on tomatoes, Bruce Rominger, he's a fifth-generation farmer. You can trust him. He hopes to turn a profit of 800 acres of tomatoes that he began harvesting in July, but he says it's a gamble.
The super drought. It's like the new warning thing that they're doing in Cali, where they're saying like, oh, we better set up, like, oh, we're drought now, but you better be careful because these rains are going to come, they're going to wash everything away, this type of thing. And it's been like, but it hasn't happened yet.
But you're going to think of me when you go to your Ralph's and your supermarkets and your Wegmans and you don't see tomato sauce. You're going to know why now. And that's why this show is so important.
To be honest, I think that this nothing's going to change.
You would. No, that's not. Are you still in this world?
Yes.
That nothing changes when all things have done is change?
I'm just saying that I don't think the level of tomato sauce availability is going to change.
I'm excited for the text.
I think it's going to change. I think you're going to go to the store one day and you're going to go to get your ketchup and it's not going to. I know you make your own sauce. I know
you're going to call us. You're going to call us and you're going to fucking be freaking out. And I'm like, well, maybe you should have listened to the article to prepare for this.
Don't make me sit here every day and be like, it's the day when the tomatoes run out. If I go to the store, are there going to be no tomatoes? No. Call me when it happens.
The day that you have to buy Hunt's instead of Heinz, that's going to be a sad day, my friend. And it's coming.
Yeah, buddy.
I actually walked into my house the other day, and Natalie, I don't know what the hell crossed her fucking mind.
Ugh.
There was Anne's natural ketchup in the refrigerator.
Oh, come on.
And I was like, what are we? What is this? Am I fucking Elizabeth Warren? Well, you live in Burlington, Vermont?
It's about $15 worth of ketchup right there.
What are we doing here? Was this some kind of communist fucking cell I'm a part of?
Give me the shit with the sugar in it. Give me the fucking Heinz.
Heinz. I want it to have microplastics in it. Well, I need the processed.
That is why, because of the big oils, or because of the big sugar subsidies, corn syrup and things, the average American, they're 15 pounds heavier now than they were in 1980. So maybe your girlfriend is trying to tell you that you're a fat fucking asshole.
Your wife.
Oh my God, Freudian slip. Girlfriend. No. Maybe your wife is trying to tell you to lose weight, is what I'm saying.
You're disgusting. You're a bastard.
Well, according to Greg Pruitt,
today's episode, we have learned. This, I feel like we're in the waiting room at a VFW today. Like this, I feel like this is all like things that only scare 70 plus year olds. Like
a VA, not a VFW. Well, according to Pruitt, just lastly, he said this in a phone interview. He says, if you're looking for a significant amount of tomato paste and you haven't already contracted it, then you're really not going to be able to get it.
Nobody
it's just not going to be there.
Tomatoes are not in danger yet.
You wait until you don't have your pasta sauce.
Yeah.
You wait when your mom's calling you. Henry Thomas, can you send us more pasta sauce?
Another reason to hang up.
Yeah, because I know you make your own sauce, and I know you need cans of tomato paste for that.
Yes,
I know you do.
I do, but again, call me when it's an emergency.
Because then we'll figure it out.
I just told you it's an emergency.
It's not yet.
It literally is.
They just are desperate for they're desperate for tomention. That is tomato attention. And that is literally what that's all there. That's all they are. They're a bunch of little meteor whores over there in the tomato industry. And I'm sick of it because they're all like, avocados, avocados.
That is true. And
is there
the
a national tomato council?
I know there is. And you know they're desperate for money because the Italian economy's falling to shit.
Nah, there's the World Processing Tomato Council. There's the Florida Tomato Committee. There's the Tomato Wellness Council.
Good Lord. All these guys embezzling money off of fruits. These fucking tomatoes are just there living their lives.
And let's not forget the Global Tomato Congress.
How much money is being just like, just so much tomato awareness. That's what I'm saying, man.
Wow.
There's a lot of tomato awareness here today.
The Global Tomato Congress there in The Hague.
There you go.
Really?
Yeah.
There you go.
Well,
this week's Hero of the Week is Marcus Barks.
Hero of the Week. Yay!
Because you sat through what would be arguably one of the worst episodes we've ever done.
Yeah, I'm really proud of you, man.
I'm glad I contributed to that.
No, you did. You know why? Because you researched all this shit that you did just while you were sitting there. Yeah. You're handsome. You're different.
Yeah. That's right.
Half paid attention. It was great.
You're right in there with us.
Technically, we did teach, again, number one, tomato shortage. We got that. Number two, if you're a lady over 40, no beach umbrellas should be around you at any time.
Keep your head in a fucking swivel.
Head on a swivel.
Always.
What else did we learn?
I don't know.
UFO.
Man masturbating with cat. And we learned, you know what we learned? We learned that you can rub your dick on a cat and yet not penetrate it, but still get charged with penetrating the cat.
And that's what I'm really thankful when it comes down to it, because it really comes down to the taste level of the judge and if you got any receipts, because you know how you got some receipts with that cat fucking is that there's going to be a little bit of litter in the bush hair.
And we definitely proved once again, don't fuck the cat.
Don't.
Just walks into the courtroom since he has like a little Garfield calendar and like little Garfield being like, this is going to be really bad for me. This is gonna. He's gonna throw the cat book at me.
Oh God! Well, thank you for listening to Side Stories. This has been Side Stories, Marcus Parks Summer Vacation Edition.
That's right.
I'm really happy we learned what we did.
We learned something.
We're here. Thank you for letting us talk to you. And next week, we have an even more special Summer Vacation Edition episode where we're going to talk about some of our favorite late summer horror films.
Yes, can't wait. Also, grapes. If you want to stay alive, eat those.
Or just, I mean, they're great. They're
what
all right.
Raisins?
Spinach is also good for you.
I actually don't mind spinach.
I love spinach. Yeah, I eat spinach multiple times a week. I absolutely adore it.
You should.
Good for
it's
you.
One of the most, it's one of the most healthy things that you can eat.
Yeah, absolutely. I just put some vinegar on it and it's wonderful.
That's it.
Yeah, just vinegar, and I just put vinegar,
no oil?
A little bit of olive oil, just
okay,
a little
good.
Bit.
Okay, good, yeah, you need olive oil. If it's just vinegar, I'm...
Yeah, a little bit of olive oil, a little bit of vinegar, and I just eat it by the handful.
Honestly, I do this with Natalie, too. I call getting the leaves in.
Yeah.
Where I just force it into my body, and I hate doing it.
No, I love it. I prefer to do it with my fingers, though.
It doesn't mean
like...
you can't eat it with a fork.
No, I can. Do it with fingers, too. It's fun.
I can, but the fork, I get too many with the fork. You can, there's no precision with the fork. You get too many.
But then your fingers are all greasy.
This is the only thing that Marcus and I have in common.
Yeah.
This is maybe one of the only ones that we have in common.
Food-wise, maybe. Maybe. All right, look at that. You can find common ground with even one of your longest friends when it comes to food. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you're doing well out there. Hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Hail Gein.
And we'll be back next week. We're more absolutely perfect concept.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors, you can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.